we can share with other folks. So good morning, Cedric Fluker from Montgomery Step Foundation.
Good morning, everyone.
Good to see you. And I'm reminding myself our conversation last night, you've got to get girls on a school bus before too long. But so we will definitely quit by 7:40 if that's still a good time for you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We're good. Yeah, thank you for joining us. And just give us an update, if you would, on STEP and what you're seeing in the schools even now as you prepare to with your staff to be out in the schools.
Well, first of all, I want to say, again, good morning to everyone. And thank you all so very much. Just for being a missions-minded church, I have to say that before we move forward, because not every church is, and so it's so appreciative for your support of both local missions as well as missions abroad. STEP Foundation, of course, we're in 30-plus years of service here in the city of Montgomery. We are a missions-based organization, local missions here in Montgomery, Alabama. Our primary focus has been at-risk youth in public schools as well as public housing communities. And the model for STEP is pretty much trying to adopt a neighborhood public housing community that's close to public schools, and that somewhat influences the schools that we're in. Right now we have a presence in Southland Middle School, as well as Carver High School, which those are feeder schools for Gibbs Village housing community, which is still one of the larger housing communities in Montgomery. Our plans for this school year, of course, we have a lot of anticipation going into the school year, a lot of optimism for being in the schools, seeing as we were disrupted from COVID-19 on last year. So we started part of the year in the schools, in front of the kids, doing both a boys to men program, focusing on students. on students between the ages of 9 and 16. So we're primarily, I would say, that fourth grade range all the way up to ninth grade has kind of been our key focus. So we're poised and ready to go back into the schools, seeing that we started part of the way in front of kids last school term and had to end up virtual with them. We're planning to start the program again, doing 9-week interval type programs with our boys as well as with our girls. Our program for girls is called Dream Girls, and they are both mirror programs of each other, success mentoring programs, where we mobilize and take Christian men and women from the community to put them in front of these youngsters to help them connect the dots to success. So not only do we have curriculum of our own that we teach the young people, everything from dressing to success and from goal setting, you know, everything that we think could help keep them out of that pipeline to prison, if you will, that are those young people that are at risk. Okay. So that's our main emphasis this year. We have several schools that we have a presence already in. Carver High School, Southland Middle School, as I mentioned, Chisholm Elementary. We have a presence also in the alternative school, which is called McIntyre Comprehensive Academy. It's the old McIntyre Middle School, but it's now that whole complex is an alternative school for both middle and high school students. We are probably one of the few programs that are actually in the school that work consistently with the school for those youngsters that are pretty much on skid row. This is pretty much it for them. And if there's no intervention, then most of them wind up in jail if they haven't already been there. So that's, I don't want to take up so much time. I know you have probably have some other questions, but our main central focus is to show the love of Jesus Christ to these young people that many find very difficult to reach because of their circumstances, because they're at risk. for all of the different negative risk factors that are out there, that exist both at the community level as well as at the school level.
Yeah, let me, maybe just pause for a second and one more comment maybe on the history that, remind people, some people know that here at Trinity Church, others have maybe forgotten or didn't know it to begin with, but that Trinity was instrumental in helping to start, Step Foundation, Bill Brubaker and Judge Phelps, and who was our pastor that was on with us then?
Probably not Bill.
No, it
was Kirk McDaniel.
Kirk McDaniel, exactly.
Yeah.
Back 30 plus years ago, even. And over the years, the activities of the ministry have changed some, but the best, I think, maybe the most effective thing we're doing now is in the schools, what you're doing.
Yes.
Kind of in public housing neighborhoods and doing some things there. But in terms of impact, I think this focus in the schools is probably the best one. And violence prevention, you mentioned the sort of the intentional programs that you have to bring kids in, but there's a violence prevention part of this in terms of some classroom. You still, will you be doing that again this year still?
That is our plan, absolutely, to do that this year. And as Tom said, our mission has kind of stayed central. Our methods have somewhat changed over the years, because a lot of things have changed as it relates to housing as well as with schools. But we go out and we build a relationship with the principals, the building leaders at these schools. Particularly, we try to target at-risk schools. Most of our schools, they're by invitation or request. And we've traditionally ran three of these programs, the programs individually for boys and for girls, but then, as Tom mentioned, also violence prevention, because unfortunately that's still a big issue that still plagues our community. We've been doing violence prevention over the past 21 years, starting in the year 2000 in Montgomery Public Schools. And unfortunately, there's still a big need for it. There was a fight at one of our high schools just the first week of school. So, yes, it's still a big need. We go into the classrooms. We teach from a violence prevention curriculum from the committee for from children called Second Step. And it's a wonderful pro-social skills violence prevention curriculum. So we believe that we're, you know, making an impact. We believe that we're, you know, the Bible talked about Jesus dwelling amongst us, you know, and that he left all the glory and he dwelt, you know, amongst his people. And we believe in a very real way that we're fulfilling the mission of Christ by being among, you know, these young people who are most prone to getting in trouble or if there's no intervention. And I thank God for 30 years of STEP being there, because I wonder what things would be like. I know that sometimes we can say, oh, it looks kind of bad right now. But I just think about how much worse things could be if there was no STEP in our community.
Yeah, and just to expand on that violence prevention part, it's not only some classroom instruction that you do, but that students who are having issues are referred to your folks, at least you and Fred. I don't know, is Shemitra there or not? She's able to...
Shemitra primarily coordinates our Dream Girls program. Fred and I traditionally have handled a lot of those cases whereby individual as well as group counseling with students as well as with their parents that are referred to us for potentially violent situations if there are no interventions. So yes, some people in the schools call us firefighters because we have to put out the fires as they arise, you know, two kids, everything from something brewing, online cyberbullying or something happening that we can't see, that shows up to school, you know, sometimes it's in the community and sometimes there are parents that are feuding and then their children start feuding. Sometimes there are gangs, sometimes there are different influences that kids bring with them into the school setting. And we have been, fortunate to put out those fires, We've done tremendous, tremendous, counseling, where sometimes kids come in a room and they're ready to knock each other's heads off, seem like. And we can have them leaving, sometimes even hugging and just, you know, bringing peace to that situation. So whether it's a mediation that we do directly, sometimes we've had to get, whole families together, a police officer in the room, and we've had to try to resolve conflicts that have been going on for years, that have transcended generations. So I really, again, I can't stress enough. We prevented, hundreds of fights. And I believe in turn, hundreds of suspensions and perhaps even, kids who would get put into alternative school and then have a downward spiral in terms of them, you know, recovering academically and finishing school. We know that there's a link between finishing school and prison. So we believe that in a very real way, we're helping to keep a lot of young people, successful. A lot of our young people, have actually, who were in our violence prevention program, who had tempers, who, you know, who were known for fighting. A lot of those children have been turned around. We won't take sole credit for every single aspect of the success in their lives, but we know that at critical points in their lives, we were there to talk to them, to encourage them, to set a positive, crisis model in the school for them. And many of them have turned out and they're productive citizens in the community. They're working. Shamitri, I think, does a lot of preventive things, with our girls. A few years ago, we were called into a task force meeting. It was, the year that Montgomery had its first, 50 murders that year. It was kind of our first real big spike several years ago, where there were feuding neighborhoods and rivals and stuff. And so when we were called into that meeting, of course they recognized STEP as being one of those, entities that have been right there in the community, from various administrations, you know, from the city's office, the mayor's office. And they called us in to this task force meeting. And one of the things that the police chief said at the time was, a lot of the girls are causing the feuding between these rival guys, you know. And so out of that, the Dream Girls program was birthed, because we felt like in some way we could elevate these young ladies to have something, better care and concern about themselves, then perhaps it will also, you know, have an effect on some of our young men. So that program was birthed, and Shamitria Bush, runs that program. She actually attended Montgomery Public Schools, was bullied, in middle school, and, she had the opportunity to go back to that same middle school and mentor girls and be there for them. Now some of those same girls are in high school. She started working with them in seventh grade. Now they're in high school, going into their junior year. And many of them now have jobs and are working. And their parents are writing us all the time and telling us the impact that the program has had positively on their children.
Yeah, that's great. You may have more to tell us. Let me just pause. Are there questions, anybody?
I just thank you for being there, because that's got to be a very difficult job. I just see it from the outside, and it could be overwhelming if you don't keep your eyes on Jesus.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, and people have asked us over the years, why do we do it? And, you know, you're absolutely right. It has to be Jesus. And we've been truly a faith-based organization, because we've had to go on faith so many times, you know, and, oftentimes we didn't even know how we would make it. You know, it's not like most jobs where you know that there's going to be resources there from year to year. So we've had to go on faith, believing that God still wants there to be a step here in Montgomery at this point in time. But you're absolutely right, sir, that Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel, presenting it in many ways, more than just, you know, we don't have the opportunity necessarily to go down the hallways quoting scripture, but we have a tremendous opportunity to put Christ in these schools, have godly influences that a lot of these young people may not see or experience firsthand. So it's a very important job to us. It's a serious job. We don't believe in fluff or just, you know, touting numbers. We do believe that, you know, getting in front of the at-risk child and being there, being that mentor, being that firsthand example of what it means to be a Christian man or a Christian woman. And Tom knows well, I so appreciate him because he's been out on some of those journeys with us, and see the need firsthand of what happens when there's no intervention, from a STEP or from any other great ministry, organization, or church, missions minded church. So again, we are humbled, we are privileged, and we absolutely do it for the glory of Jesus Christ.
I assume from what you talk, you have a good relationship with the police department and the school, so you can fairly freely go and come with whatever you need to do.
Yes, sir. And I think that comes though too through credibility and for years of, you know, you're doing good work. We don't have a robust budget to always kind of put out what we do. I still think the weakest part of our organization is that we sometimes do work and it's unassuming because we do a lot of the hard work on the ground, but it's not things that you can necessarily always market, you know, or put out there constantly before people to say that we're doing this. Some stories we can't tell. So I just, yeah, I'm thankful for the reputation that we've had. A lot of people say that we're in the trenches, but for us, we're just serving, you know, serving the people of God, and no one else is willing to go. I think that's part of the missions. We go. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been going, into the schools all these years as well as to the housing.
Said is, Dream Girls and Boys to Men, is that an after school program now, or is that a free time in the regular school hours? How does that work?
Traditionally, it has actually worked, both ways where it's been both in school. It has been mostly in school during the school hours. But we have traditionally run the program both in school as well as opportunities outside of school. Oftentimes we've had like a host church that would like host maybe a weekend or something like that. And we'd go and we would host some of the girls. Transportation sometimes is an issue. So we don't always impact as many on like say a weekend program as we would throughout the whole school day, you know, but that traditionally has been the way that we have set up and ran the program to me because the gospel is so important. And I challenged Ms. Bush, you know, when she first came on to make sure that we had a component that we could get even outside of the schools, even though we feel like, you know, we're representing Christ there. We wanted to have more of like a discipleship model where we could, you know, give them Christ, give them scripture, teach them the word of God outside of, you know, the normal school hours. Many of them may have churches, they may attend church, but we just believe that you can't get too much, you know, of the word. So, that has been, you know, typically how we've liked to run the program. Of course, again, COVID has disrupted some of our meeting, outside meeting. But at the same time, in the schools, during the school hour, is the 8-hour day, that's where we make the most impact. And that's where we have a large majority of our volunteers. We've also had volunteers, though, to come on the weekend as well.
Go back to the COVID, when schools were shut down with COVID, said, describe what your folks were doing in those days.
Yes, we actually had to quickly shift to using the same platforms that the teachers used, which was, thank God for Zoom. So through Zoom, we were able to still be in front of kids. Matter of fact, the alternative school, I just had a meeting with them yesterday. They're pretty sure they would like to kind of continue the online program that we had, because actually they had a time carved out for STEP where everything shut down. This is tremendous to think of this notion for a school, but they stopped and paused the entire, they just give STEP a time, and all of the teachers, all of the students, everybody in the whole building has to listen to us. And so, God is at work, but yes, and in many times, as you can imagine, teachers having stresses, having to deal with children that are unpredictable. They don't know when they walk in if a fight is going to break, if something's going to happen. So if you can imagine, many of them are stressed. So many times in the chat, we would see kids that would be writing in the chat and saying, thank you, that I got a lot out of this. But we would also have teachers to chat and talk about how meaningful the lessons to the kids were to them. So it's a dual blessing package to me, where both the kids as well as the adults in the building have been blessed by STEP. We've done that for a number of our schools. We even picked up a new school, Highland Gardens, on last year, which is also on the north side with, Chisholm Elementary School. They were having some issues with their fourth grade boys and, wanted us to come in. And oftentimes that's how we go. We're very small staff, but most of the time it's hard to turn down people that are really in need. So we had a principal that, hey, we really, having some issues with our fourth grade boys, can you come in? So Fred was already stretched where he was. Shemitra was of course doing the girls. So I went and did the boys program there. Just incredible, amazing, to start out with them. In person, face to face, we did activities, we did curriculum. It was a very short time that a lot of those young men just would come up to me, would give me hugs, and you could just see the impact of having a positive male figure in their lives. COVID came and we shipped it to online, and we kept the school. And the counselor that was there, she told me, she says, Mr. Fluker, she says, whatever the STEP Foundation does, she says, it's remarkable, because she says, I can't get them to come online, because counseling is not required like English or history or math, you know. She was like, so even though it's not optional, it's built into the schedule, it's hard to get kids to come on Zoom. There's no grade. But she says, these kids come on, they look forward to you guys every week. So Fred, Shemitra, and I, we were all shifted, to Zoom. Even Peggy, my assistant in the office, has been on with us before. So, I hope that answers your problem. We just pretty much try to, wherever the kids are, we're trying to be there in front of them. So if it's online or if it's in person, that's where we want to be.
Said, what is your sense of the sort of the climate in the schools now? Just open a couple of weeks, the teachers and the staff, and you're out there. I know your wife, Sumedha, is a librarian at Southline too, so she may be hearing things you're not hearing. But what's the climate now?
Well, Tom, the climate. That's a good question. The climate is really. I would just say fluid may be the best answer right now. It's there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of positive cases that are beginning to surface. You know, there were no real screenings, even though there was a mask mandate put in for the school, particularly for the elementary school children, because they for those that wanted to take vaccines, they couldn't. under 12. So what we're seeing is a breakout of the virus in elementary schools. And so that's where we are, you know, of course, stationed. Some of our schools like Seth Johnson, they kind of, they're hopeful that school can remain open, but many of them kind of have the feeling that schools are going to shut back down again. Mm-hmm. So in some instances, you have pretty good morale in the school. You have teachers and principals dedicated and excited for going into the year. But then also you have those that are not necessarily pessimistic, but they're just unsure. You know, they feel like, we may not be able to hold the line and that schools will eventually shut down again like last year. So it's just a real fluid environment. You know, you have some schools that are doing well and they're giving their all to the kids. And some people are just, they're kind of checked out, low morale. They don't have enough teachers in some of the schools. It's something, but we're hoping and hopeful that, we feel like we make our best impact when we're there to be in front of children. That's still our hope, but we just, don't really know at this point in time how things will wind up. We do know that there's a need for us, because they continually tell us that. We've actually picked up another school. Fred has changed from Southland and he's now stationed at McKee Middle School. And, that was his previous assignment before going to Southland. Pretty much same need there, in terms of the middle school. So yes. Prayers are definitely needed for our schools. I can't stress that enough. They told us, and I asked the teachers, I asked the central office staff, is there a need for us? And they said, absolutely, there's a need for STEP because of the emotional trauma that a lot of the young people have had being at home due to COVID. Some have come out of abuse situations. Some, their hopes and dreams have been dashed because maybe they were planning to do something at, you know, a particular school year. They didn't get to complete it. So there's a lot of depression. There's a lot of anger. And so, so everyone has said absolutely 100. Yes, we need STEP at this time.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? You probably have many, many opportunities to deal one-on-one with young people, and with a limited staff, how do you deal with them on a one-on-one basis and follow up on what you're doing in the class?
Sir, that is a great question. If I knew the answer, I would tell you. I think there's a little word called grace. you know, we sing the hymn Amazing Grace, and I really am not being funny with that. It is only by God's grace. I think I asked that same question too. And you know, being so small with the staff we have, and it seems like we cover a lot of ground. But our folks that are in the school, not only do they talk to, say, hundreds of students a day through classroom presentations. But they're constantly going in and out among children and say, for instance, that was to be one of the dreams or that come to our, violence prevention or social skills classes. You just wind up building relationships with them and they always feel comfortable coming to that adult. It's happened to me, even before being director, I did what those guys did in the school. And it's amazing. And I can tell you from being at McIntyre many years and them not having that person in the building that they felt comfortable enough, that they felt had a genuine relationship and, interest towards them. I can tell you that there's a real benefit from personal one-on-one relationship building and mentoring that goes on. I don't know how we do it, sir, to be honest with you, but it's done in incredible ways. We learn our students. We know them. We know them by name, whether they're in a group setting or individual. Of course, we can't know all of the hundreds of kids that we touch intimately, but for the ones we do, we do. And Shemetria, I mean, and absolutely, if you can imagine about 40 or 50 young ladies who started out at South Lawn and now they're at Carver. She knows every single one of those young ladies and what's going on with their lives, and some of them having troubles and boyfriends. And, you know, she's having to walk with them through each stage of their lives. So, it's a good question. I wish I knew how to answer. All I can say is that it's just been God's amazing grace.
Well, we're at the point where we need to pray, and you've given us plenty to pray for. I don't know if there's anything else you would ask us to do, but we're going to start our prayer time. And when we get to the year-ending time, don't be afraid to sign off, even if we're still praying. Said, I know with mom at work, you got to get the girls out. But
I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much again to Trinity Church, to the Missions Department of Trinity, just for – again, having a heart for missions. We can't do what we do without your support, prayer, as well as support otherwise. And so I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you.
Bubba, would you start us in prayer, and others pray as you would like to?
Be glad to. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to be with Cedric and be with each other, and more importantly, to be with you, and just thank you for the years that the step has gone on, the involvement that Trinity had to start it, and now that Cedric leads it. I just thank you for his heart and his passion and his willingness to be there in a very difficult situation, but it's making a difference for Jesus, and that's what it's all about. So the many things he talked about, getting into the schools, working with the police, building the relationship with these young people that can get out of some of the difficult situations they're in. And Lord, I cannot imagine what it takes. So I just pray that you would encourage him, that Trinity could come alongside and help in whatever way we can to make a difference. But I guess I'm just so convicted when I think that you're dealing with these children that you really can't educate them because you – the lives they come from, the violence they've seen, and it just is instilled in their lives. And just to think that, you know, they're headed for prison at such an early age. So, Lord, I pray that you would work in their lives, Lord. You would work through STEP. You would work through us, Lord, that we might see a radical change right here in Montgomery, Alabama, Lord. It first would start with you, a revival, and seeing Christ lifted up, and then just a change of hearts here. So, Lord, let it start with me. But thank you again this morning for hearing Cedric, and continue to use him and his staff in a mighty way here. I pray in Christ's name.
And Father, we thank you for the 30 plus years that you have given STEP in just being able to carry out these local missions to at-risk students. And Father, we thank you for the godly influence that they have had in our public schools, and we just ask you to continue to bless their work. And we thank you for the access that you've given them during the period of COVID, where they could get in the schools through Zoom and just were able to have such a positive influence that the whole school shut down and listened. And we pray, Lord, for these at-risk young people, that your Holy Spirit will prick their hearts, and that you will draw them to yourself, and they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we pray that as you do that, Lord, that it will not only change the lives of the participants, but also entire families, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would raise up additional volunteers that are needed to continue to carry out this program. And the finances that are needed to continue to work in these middle and elementary schools, Lord, and to be able to reach these fourth grade through ninth grade students. And Father, just continue to equip them to be able to carry out the mentoring program for the boys and girls, and for the violence prevention program. And Lord, we know that in your word, you have promised that the one who calls is faithful, and that you will surely do it. And so, Father, we pray that you'll continue to just raise up everyone that's needed, the finances, the volunteers, and continue to allow STEP to be successful and to be a great influence in our community and in our schools and in reaching these at-risk young people. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.
Dear Father, thank you for the mighty work that you are doing through the STEP Foundation. Lord, wherever there is a work like this that shines so brightly as a testimony to your grace, Lord, I'm sure that there are the spiritual forces of darkness that want to war against it. And wherever that is happening, Lord, I pray that you would push back the darkness through this work, Lord, that you would encourage the staff in their own hearts and minds, that you would fortify them with your armor and your grace, that their cups would overflow in their own families, Lord, that you would encourage and unite them there in their own churches, that they would be ministered to and fed so that they might continue to feed others and show others your grace.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this program and for all the years of influence it's had in our community. And we just pray that you would continue to strengthen SED and the staff and all the volunteers and the teachers in these schools, and that they would just be lights for you and in these kids' lives. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our community and the families, and there would just be a revival and a desire to turn away from hatred and fear and anger, and you would just use the kids that have been helped by STEP to encourage other children, and you would just create an exponential growth of your word and people's lives, and that it would bring about change in families and in our whole community. We just again pray that additional volunteers and resources would be available when they're needed, and you would just continue to strengthen SED and the staff, and just help them feel the encouragement from you and from through us to them, and just continue the work that's being done. We just pray in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I agree with these prayers. We are grateful for the STEP Foundation and for the role that it has filled in this city over many years. I thank you for SED and his leadership, and the way in which he balances time at school with kids and his responsibilities as executive director and the things that he does there. Thank you for the staff, for Peggy, who backs him up in many ways in the office, for Fred and Shemitria. I pray that you'd give them wisdom as they're out with kids in the school, in the hallways, in counseling situations, and just the presence that they have in the classroom as well. And that the gospel would continue to be evident in the way these folks are there and serving you many times in just behind the scenes ways, other times more visible. And yet we pray that your truth would be evident, and that the lives of kids would be changed as they're drawn to your truth and drawn away from the darkness of this world. Bless that even today as he goes, and for each of us, that we would be ready witnesses on our lips, but in our actions and thoughts as well, to glorify you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.